Moving on now, but you mentioned there what was pretty much the birth of the conflict of interest guidelines, which brings us quite nicely to WordBomb, who I guess you got involved, Word, really out of a very particular conflict of interest that has since gone on to, geez, I don't know how many thousand words have been written about it and how much time and effort it's sort of taken up on the wiki, but it's certainly run and still is going. But do you want to just give us a bit of a rundown about how you came to the project?
Well, and let me just say one thing to your earlier point. When you say, you know, how many thousands of words have been written, following the initial bad sites debate, which was sparked, you know, which began back in September of 2007 and ran for a month or so before it was finally put away. I went through and, you know, you can look at the, I went through and looked at all the ARPCOM pages connected to that. And in each case, it'll you know, if you look in the history, it'll tell you how much memory each page takes up. And I added it all up, and it came to like 1.5 megabytes of pure raw text. And I compared that to, on my PDA, I have the text of the New Testament, which is actually a little bit smaller in size. And so, you know, and what I think is the most interesting component of that is the fact that a debate went on spanning, actually exceeding the length of the New Testament, in which the thing which was being debated could not be mentioned. And more than that, you know, evidence, exculpatory evidence, or evidence that ran contrary to the cabal opinion on the thing could not be introduced. I mean, it was a pure
underlying. Well, let's go back a step just to give, because, you know, there will be some people who have, you know, maybe even not heard of WordBomb and don't know what's going on. So yeah, if you could just paint a picture for like how you first heard about Wikipedia and what brought you here basically.
Well, so I first heard about Wikipedia, I remember it was back in 2003 or so, and I remember I was on kind of an open source, I was a real big fan of open source at the time, and I thought, aha, this is perfect. This is the open source equivalent of you know, human knowledge, and it's great. So I was just kind of aware of it, but never really felt impelled to contribute to it in any way. Over the next 2 or 3 years, every now and then you hear about Wikipedia in the news, and it was always in the context of, well, it was one of two types of stories. It was this, you know, this company or this person or this something just got caught editing their own Wikipedia entry. Oh, what shame. And, you know, so I was always hearing these stories about these people with these conflicts of interest who get caught and the shame of doing that. Isn't that terrible? So that stuck with me. And then I also, at one point, I remember the next time I experienced some real true journalism on the subject, it related to the Siegenthaler thing. That's when I first saw Daniel Brandt.
Yeah.
It was on 2020 or something. But so you know, fast forward a little bit, and I had kind of created a podcast series, and I was interviewing CEOs, and I'm in Utah, which is, you know, this isn't Silicon Valley or Boston or whatever, you know, place where you're like tons of CEOs to choose. So I was going to the ones that stood out the most. One of them, the first one I endeavored to meet with was Patrick Byrne, who's a CEO of Overstock.com. And so, you know, we chatted for quite a bit, and in the course of that conversation, I asked him about this fairly high-profile kind of fight against a form of corruption on Wall Street he's been involved in. And he told me many things that he predicted I would see if I looked, and I did look, and I did see them. And it was basically, you know, the common denominator connecting these things was efforts to introduce disinformation into the discourse for the purpose of providing cover to the people perpetrating this fraud, or to actually help them in the course of doing that, specifically, you know, smearing companies and inducing shareholders to sell.
I mean, what Patrick's written about quite extensively and et cetera is, it's quite a large scale kind of sort of conspiracy, isn't it? It's sort of the allegations that there's stock prices are being artificially deflated and all this sort of stuff. And he's been a long time advocate of that. And you met him as part of, you interviewed him, that's right, and sort of dug a bit deeper and found that what he was saying to you sort of added up.
Indeed. And I have a background in journalism, and so it's my nature to want to kind of dig and investigate these things. And so I found that the things he said that I would find were, now, I did not at the time, and in many ways I still don't understand the actual mechanics of what is actually happening. I mean, I understand, I think, better than 99% of people, but there's still a lot I don't know. Now, It's the public facing side of this crime, which I have managed to grasp quite well. And it involves using blogs, and as I'm going to learn, Wikipedia, and other forms of the kind of user generated online content to introduce disinformation to help kind of support the people engaging in this crime.
If I just sum it up to the directly Wikipedia sort of function of it, is that you asserted, you came onto Wikipedia and you saw something that you thought was very clear, and you wanted to assert a specific conflict of interest, and we won't bother going into the names and the whys and the wherefores, but you had an assertion that there was a specific editor who was in fact conflicted, and you sought to raise that in a couple of ways, but you came up against the big cultural no-no of the time, which is still there to a large degree, which is that we shouldn't be mentioning real identities on Wikipedia. And I think, am I right in saying that you were only editing for a couple of days before you were banned? Is that right?
Well, a couple of hours, to be more specific. It happened very quickly. And I want to go back. I mentioned that a couple of years passed where the only real media that I saw related to Wikipedia was in the context of, this organization or this person was caught editing their own entry, and that's bad. And so, I had determined with certainty that this editor, that this, individual was editing, had actually created the article on himself, and then was going on to write, introduce terrible inaccuracies and just overall bias into, the article related to Patrick Byrne, to his company, into this naked short selling, which is this form of stock fraud I was referring to. And I knew with certainty, and I mean, I won't bother you with how I knew, but I figured, again, having seen that this is something that is overwhelmingly rejected, that I would, go in and make the case and I would have, roses thrown at my feet, and I would be thanked generally for bringing this to light, and that problem would be solved, and that would be that. It never occurred to me that there would be this so-called prohibition against outing other editors when, again, in the media, I saw it happening many, many times.
In fact, we'll go. There's also, I just wanted to bring it really to the point as well. There's actually a current discussion on, I think, the administrator's notice board, to bring this full circle, which is to talk about whether or not you, to restore your right to edit, to unban you. And I just wanted to get, straight from the horse's mouth. Would you like to be unbanned?
I would on a couple levels. I'm deeply, deeply disappointed with Wikipedia, not the concept, but the organization, and feel, and I have been so consistently disappointed with it, not just the way I've been treated, but the way Greg has been treated, the way Barry, or rather Moulton, has been treated. I have very little motivation to want to improve the project, spend my time trying to make it better, given everything that I've endured and I've seen others endure. So there's that, but at the same time, I'm very much in favor of Wikipedia, that concept. I mean, so taking it away from the organization, the concept I adore, and I very much want to be a part of it. So I do on that level. On another level, there's very much just there's a principle involved here where somehow in this bizarre world, I'm the one that was and remains banned, and the person who is overwhelmingly acknowledged as being behind this thing is still technically free, to go edit. So I want to see parity there.
To let people know the full situation, this is part of that 1.5 megabytes of epic proportion discussion, relates to the fact that this did fairly recently go before what is in theory the highest court of Wikipedia, which is the arbitration committee, and for whatever reasons, those guys were unable to make a decision, which again caused, of course that just keeps the cycle going, because a lot of people are very unhappy that a decision couldn't be made, and there's been all sorts of sort of talk in all ways. I just want to spend two secs, word, if we could, because you're someone that's, I think, out of all of us here, and I should, just to be for full disclosure, I'm someone that's been indefinitely blocked a few times from Wikipedia, and I've been sanctioned by the ArbCon, but I'm very happy to be back and I quite enjoy it. You're someone, word, that's been sort of kind of vilified. You've been, the words like stalker and harassment and all this sort of stuff surround you a bit. And I wondered, is it okay with you if we just talk a bit about that?
I would love to. Love to, please.
Well, okay, then let's cut to the chase. There's allegations, or there's, you know, people saying that, you know, you've installed spyware on other people's computers and stuff like that. You know, let's deal with that one first. Have you sent people spyware?
No. I wouldn't. Spyware is a very specific thing. It infects your registry. It gets installed on your computer, etc. I've admitted this from day one, literally. I won't back up because that'll get too complicated. But, you know, there was a single instance in which I found this, you know, I ran into this brick wall that was Slim Virgin, and it was one of the strangest experiences I've ever had, where this supposedly, you know, kind of neutral arbiter of this dispute was on the one hand claiming to be, you know, trying to resolve it, on the other hand was very clearly attempting not to, and I just kind of had to satisfy my own curiosity. Is she even looking at the things I'm sending her? So I sent, I mean, a little tracking script, which is in probably every commercial email that you ever receive, which lets the sender know only that it's been opened. And so yeah, I did do that. That's as much spyware as, you know, a pair of roller skates is.
So let's be very clear. You said I mean, you were mentioning that, your background was in journalism. I'm confusing with my wiki, who's marketing, but within an email, if you embed like an image or a picture, you can then, you can then check to see if that picture's been viewed, and then if that picture is – I'm a bit of a technical ignoramus, so excuse my slowness here, but if that picture has been viewed, that appears in the logs of the server wherever the picture was.
Right, and so it's interesting that I presumed that and one thing you do get also is the IP address that opened it. Now, I kind of assumed, okay, Slim Virgin, she's probably one of 8 million people in New York City. It'll come back from New York or from Chicago or something like that, and that won't tell me a thing. But what I was shocked to find out is, yes, it was opened, but not by Slim Virgin. It was opened by the person with the conflict of interest issue that I've been alleging. It was opened by him.
And so you're in terms of, like, you know, what might be creepy, aggressive behavior, you're saying that you certainly did attempt to trace or to look at the, you know, who was reading your email.
Oh, well, yeah, I think one could fairly say that. I would say it more in terms of, I just wanted to see that it was read, period. Like, much like certified mail, you know, where you send something with a receipt that, you know, comes back once it's been received, just to know that this thing's even been received and read, because I had a distinct feeling that it was being ignored. And this verified that not only was it being ignored, even worse, it was being passed on to the person on the opposite end of the dispute.
And then the other confusions come in that the related to the to Patrick Byrne and Overstock and the bigger issue, which you've been very clear is probably the root of all of these problems, which, you know, is the existence or otherwise of quite a major financial rort, I guess, you know, a bit of a scam. That's been sort of discussed by, you know, many what we'd call reliable sources, I guess, and people are certainly wiki editors haven't been shy of saying that it's a crazy conspiracy theory.
Oh, no, there are some who say that. There's no question, and that's part of the thing. I would point to the fact that today the chairman of the SEC made reference to this crazy conspiracy theory as being a very real thing, and acknowledged that the SEC is conducting an investigation into the likelihood that Bear Stearns was in part destroyed by this process. That happened today in front of the United States Senate.
Yeah.
So if it's a crazy conspiracy, then the chairman of the SEC is a lunatic conspiracy theorist.
Well, my take on this also was that I think I'm just a little private muse here. I don't have a clue. I mean, I do know that these things happen. You know, stock markets crash, stock markets are manipulated, and there's often people there before it comes out, you know, saying that it's happening. So I just simply don't know. And I'm not sure that any wiki editors really should be expressing opinions on that unless they really do know. The final point I wanted to get out there was that the confusion again also comes in because you began your this chance meeting or this meeting with Patrick Byrne as part of your interviewing series. It led to employment, didn't it? Is that right?
Oh yeah. In fact, that's one of the real silver linings of this cloud is I went back to him and said, boy, I've been I found something that you will not believe. I, you know, discovered something going on that you will not believe relating to your article on Wikipedia, which he up to that point had really not been aware of. That, in turn, led to a deeper conversation where he said, boy, you know a lot about this stuff being social media. And I said, yeah, it's kind of what I do. I'm trying to build a business around it. That led to an offer of employment. What's interesting to note is that that happened quite a bit later after I'd been banned. And I don't know how many people know this. I no longer work for Overstock. And yet this continues being an issue of mine. So, I mean, it was before and it remains after. And it was during as well.
Yeah. And just to finish the one-to-one, so you mentioned, Judd, that you're sort of, I mean, you know, I'm getting the sense from all of, in all of these conversations, Wikipedia, and you feel burned. All of you, you know, all of us, I guess, all of you feel hurt by Wikipedia and are a bit pissed off with the way it panned out. So you're, Judd, you remain, Wordbomb, you remain a bit ambivalent about the current discussion, whether to unban you, but you would certainly like parity with the other party, you know, in your particular case.
Yeah, precisely. It's, yeah, and I'm not going to add to anything you said because you nailed it.